I'm thrilled to be here at the Woods Hole Film Festival in this area of the world that is so dear to my heart.
That's Maya Forbes, comedy writer, formerly for The Larry Sanders Show. Je ne veux pas travailler. You may know her sister Chyna Forbes, lead singer of the band Pink Martini. A decade or so ago, Chyna and her then-boyfriend, filmmaker Wes Anderson, and Maya and her future husband, screenwriter Wally Wolodarski, were visiting the sister's father, Cam Forbes, a charismatic son of the very Boston Brahmin Forbes dynasty, who'd long battled mental illness. At one point in the visit, he began smoking 2 cigarettes at one time. Now, Wes Anderson would have Bill Murray do the same thing in the film Rushmore, but that day he said to Maya, "You've got to make a movie about your dad."
Wes said, "You've got to write this movie." I thought, "Oh God, who wants to see that?"
That's ridiculous. Of course.
Well, turns out many people. The subsequent film is called Infinitely Polar Bear.
The girl seemed good, right?
No kidding. Last week, Amelia kicked the crap out of the school bully.
No.
She kicked him so hard in the knee, she put him on crutches.
Wow.
I was quite proud.
Oh.
Cameron Ford is played by Mark Ruffalo. Maya and Chyna's mom, Peggy, who is black, is played by Zoe Saldana. After Cam's breakdown and diagnosis of bipolar disorder in the 1970s, he couldn't work, but the Forbes family fortune was tied up in a trust controlled by a great-grandmother. His family was penniless. So when Maya and Chyna were very young, their parents decided that mom would go to New York to get an MBA, dad would stay home and take care of the kids in Cambridge, Massachusetts. In this scene, mom lays out that plan to Cam's equally trust-poor parents.
We're living at the poverty level. The girls are going to a terrible school.
Our children went to the best schools, and I tell you, it didn't add up to much.
Our children are delightful.
Absolutely, but not one of them is self-supporting.
Well, Murray, lest you forget, neither are we.
I think it's admirable what Maggie's doing.
I agree. Very commendable.
Don't we have some silver or some crystal we could sell?
I wouldn't even pay for this meal.
The film is brutally honest about the struggles Maya's family had. It's also hilarious and heartwarming. Maya is played by her real-life daughter, Imogene Wolodarski. Chyna by Ashley Alterhide. They're both mortified by their erratic dad, who goes on and off his meds and often seems like one of the kids. They also adore him. This scene demonstrates both.
I'm depressed.
Of course you are. Your dog ran away. Your family gives you just barely enough money to live off, and you annoy people.
You're leaving out my hemorrhoids.
Where are you going?
I'm meeting Kim Alley in Thurgood.
Can I come?
Yes.
Can I come?
No, God!
We're hanging out with our friends.
Why don't you ever bring your friends here?
To this.
Stop saying that.
Daddy, you can't hang out with kids. It's weird.
We need to have our own life, and you need to have yours.
How am I supposed to have my own life when you won't let me do anything?
Ultimately, the character invites Dad to join her.
Fine, we're hanging out at the picnic tables.
Recently, many of Maya's relatives came to a screening of her film at the Woods Hole Film Festival in Falmouth, Massachusetts. The Forbes family owns an island offshore. Maya and I sat down to talk at film's end.
Did you ever hesitate to tell a story that showed so much of your family's pain and joy, but pain?
I mean, I guess I hesitated because it took me a long time to dive into this. But once I started writing it, I wanted to try to be truthful to the experience and to the love that there was in my family, and also the struggles. I mean, I put everything, all of my feelings into the script, the ambivalence and the anger and also the love and the worry and, you know, all of it.
Fear.
And the fear.
Was there ever any conversation in your family about whether or not this should have happened, whether somebody who was mentally ill should have stayed home with 2 girls?
It was a risk, but it was also what my father, sort of the thing that he was capable of doing. Not perfectly, obviously, but that was where he found, I guess I would say, his calling. I mean, it was a rough transition when he was always a great father he was a fun father when I was very little, and then he had a breakdown, and then he worked to get himself back to a stable place. And by the time my mother went away, he ironed out some issues, but certainly it was a risk. But I think it's really important, if you are suffering from something like this, that you have some grounding, and the responsibility of taking care of us ended up being the thing that allowed him to stay stable. I mean, it was the sort of the best period of his life.
Well, it strikes me too that it's before the Department of Social Services and a lot of these things that may not allow this to have happened. And then I find myself thinking, well, is that necessarily a good thing? Because look at how you and your sister turned out. What do you think this up?
It's good to go around with family, lots of family. Yeah.
Well, but it strikes me, too, that this is a wonderful film for children of people who are mentally ill, to be able to see that.
When I was writing it, that was something I was thinking about, which is obviously it is rated R, and I've had little kids, you know, 10, 12-year-olds say, why is it rated R? I mean, it doesn't seem, it sounds familiar to me. it's wonderful to know that you are not alone and that you have an experience that seems so painful to you, but that other people are struggling with the same things.
Did you ever hesitate? I mean, you and your now husband both come from comedy writing. Did you worry about people thinking, oh, mental illness, how funny, you know?
What's funny is sort of the scene, like when he gets the dog that is really terribly behaved and just makes everything more chaotic.
Did that really happen, by the way?
Yes. More than one dog, yes. I was trying to find the humor in the point of view, you know. I never think I'm making fun of someone with mental illness. Certainly seeing somebody in the state where they're sedated, or it can be like a horror film. I mean, it's a really awful thing to see. But yes, I just sort of naturally, I think, see humor in things.
Tell us a little more about your family, the Forbes family, one of the most powerful in the country. It's kind
of... Do you guys feel that way?
Many of them here. It's kind of hard to watch there not be more financial support.
Well, it was funny. When I was growing up, we were not supposed to ask about money. We weren't supposed to talk about it. And I think that's a rule that is imposed by people who don't want you to ask them for money. I think the disease wasn't understood. And the feeling was you could pull it together if you try. I mean, we don't want to enable you to just be a screw-up for the rest of your life. You're going to have to figure it out. It really wasn't understood how severe it was sort of a choice. And then when he lived with us and he was able to sort of maintain stability, it seemed like, oh, it is a choice. But then once we were gone off to college, it was hard for him to stay stable.
Did you feel somehow responsible for it as a child? The character up there seems to.
Yes, I definitely really was always hoping that my father would be happy and not lonely, and I felt his pain very strongly. So I definitely felt a lot of responsibility. It was hard always to walk away from him. My sister and I went to Harvard, and my father lived in Cambridge. You know, I'd be going through Harvard Square, and I'd run into my dad, and he'd say, where are you going? I'd say, I'm going to see somebody, you know, perform at a coffee house for me. Can I come? No! You know, so, and then, of course, I'd turn and walk away, and I'd cry, and I was like... But as I wrote the movie, what I came to appreciate so strongly was that as much as he didn't want my sister and I to go off into the world and leave him alone, that's all he was doing, was preparing us for that.
Sometimes something like this can drive siblings apart. It feels like it just blowtorched the two of you together.
I like that way of putting it. My parents really encouraged self-expression. We could be so obnoxious, but I think my father certainly always appreciated that spirit. Even though we were feisty and gave him a lot of trouble, he liked that. But I think that has led us to do what we're doing with her as a songwriter, a singer, and me, a storyteller. Mental illness is not, I don't think it's something to be ashamed of. I think it's something that many, many, many families deal with. And I know that now from going all around with this film and people coming up to me. And it's so much more common than I think we know because people don't talk about it.
By the way, the title of the film?
So the title of the film is something my sister and I, we were in college. And like I said, after we had moved out of the house, my father had a harder time staying stable. And he was in a manic episode and we had to take him to McLean. And as he was filling out the intake form, it said, have you ever been diagnosed with anything? You know, manic depression, schizophrenia, other. And he circled other, and he wrote infinitely polar bear. And what was so potent to me was that I think after, you know, 30 years of being diagnosed with, you know, different things, because the doctors are trying to figure out, you know, it's like, maybe you're schizophrenic, maybe you're manic depression, you know, we don't always know. But being diagnosed with labels that have a negative connotation, he wanted to give himself his own label, you know, which was... positive and expansive and silly, which was more, I think he felt, reflective of who he was. So that was the genesis of the title.
I think it's a far better description, infinitely polar bear, than bipolar.
Right, capture the mystery of what's going on in your mind. Yes.
Well,
thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Writer and director Maya Forbes at the Woods Hole Film Festival in Falmouth, Massachusetts. When her dad, Cameron Forbes, was diagnosed with cancer in 1998, his daughters bought a house and cared for him till his death that year. He and his wife, Peggy, remained close. She became the first black woman in the U.S. to start a certain kind of investment firm.
I knew there was something wrong. I used to call him Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Mm. But nobody in the 70s, 74,
yeah,
understood. I didn't even know.
We left Maya Forbes surrounded by audience members jockeying to tell her about their loved one's struggles.
She tells me she's bipolar. I had no concept.
Wow.
I had no idea. And she starts asking.
Later that night, we glimpsed her daughters surrounded by playful cousins waiting for the ferry to the Forbes family's private island, a new generation with a new understanding and acceptance of mental illness. Again, the film is Infinitely Polar Bear.